You're listening to Daycare Overhaul, Doing Childcare Better, presented by Childcare BizHelp.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Daycare Overhaul, where we do childcare better. I'm Caroline Jens.
And I'm Justina Patterson.
And we are going to have what, Justina? A fabulous show.
A fabulous show. I was going to say, we're excited to be here. I'm just so used to saying that, and we have to not say that all the time.
I know. We have to come up with a new intro.
Well, that was a good one. We have a fabulous show. So that was a good job.
Thank you. Well, we do have we do have a fabulous show today, though. We are going to have a special guest with us today, and our topic is on setting expectations, and not only setting them, but ensuring that people follow through with those expectations.
That's important, is the follow through.
Right, because it's really easy to set expectations, but to get people to follow through on them, that's a whole different story.
True story.
Right, but before we introduce our guest today, Justina, how are you doing?
Well, I'm good. So I did my hair a little different today, not that anyone can see it, but I put a little bun in, a side bun.
It looks beautiful. You even have lipstick on today.
I do have lipstick on. I thought I would just get a little fancy for everyone to listen to me talk, you know?
But well,
I was going to say, I have a dilemma with my hair tie.
Wow.
And I don't know how often you wear your hair up, but I'm going to share my dilemma with you anyway. So, you know, you use one hair tie because you buy a pack of, you know, 75, but you only use one of them and you get it perfectly stretched out. It takes a little bit of time. You have to stretch it out and it gets perfectly stretched out and it's awesome. But then it stretches too much and it doesn't work so well anymore. That's where my hair tie is at right now. But I don't want to restart stretching out a new hair tie.
That sounds like first world problems, Justina.
It totally is, but it's a real thing. Like, you stretch your hair tie out perfectly enough and it fits exactly how you want it to. And the elastic breaks and it's too much. And
I don't have that problem. I use a different hair tie every day.
Do you lose the previous one? Is that why you use a different one?
So my husband would like to probably get on our podcast right now and say, my hair ties are everywhere around the house and so are my bobby pins.
I only use one hair tie. It's the same one all the time because then it fits on my wrist really nice. So I can just put it on my wrist when I'm not using it.
All right.
But I'm going to have to start stretching out a new one. It's going to be a thing.
That sounds like the easiest COVID 2020 problem that we've had this year.
It probably is.
Well, let's talk about this. So 2020, we're almost done.
2 months left.
2 months left. Can you believe it?
I feel like it's been the longest and shortest year of my life.
I think that's a great quote for today. The longest but shortest year of my life.
You know, like, I feel like March and February was 2 months ago, but I also feel like that was a really long time ago. And, you know, obviously time is a funny thing in general, but man, I mean, there was no summer really. In Wisconsin, it's 35 degrees today.
Yuck. Yeah, it's not a good situation there. But we have something really exciting to talk about.
We do. You know, there's nothing better than thinking, gosh, I can't wait till 2021, especially considering 2020 has been, you know, best year ever. Not.
Not.
But we have to start thinking about 2021 and really, what better way to do that than to get your 2021 calendar?
Exactly.
You know?
We started our leadership subscription box this year.
We did.
We gave out our first ones or sold our first ones last quarter, and we're all prepped and ready to go for first quarter 2021. And then we decided, hey, wouldn't it be cool to have a calendar, a desk calendar that the directors could have on their desk that allowed them to do all kinds of things during the month?
I remember when we were planning it, we had reached out to a former director that we had worked with. And she was like, well, why didn't you guys think of this when I was a director? I'm like, well, you know, we did now.
Right. Yay. Right. Yay. But we're excited because, you know, again, with setting expectations, which is our topic today, and following through, being organized and, you know, planning ahead and keeping track of all the different things that our directors have in terms of responsibility, it can be a nightmare. And we've just been working really hard at Childcare Biz Help to try to figure out different ways to help our childcare peeps out.
That's true. And I think that the desk calendar, and it's not like a tiny little calendar. It's a desk calendar. It sits on your desk. It's like 22 by 17. So it's big and there's space for all the things that you need for your goals, your enrollment goals, your hiring goals, important dates, birthdays, family starting, notes about what you want to talk about at a staff meeting. But there's also fun, because we wouldn't be putting a product out there unless there was something fun on it. And so each month also has like a fun little, like a word search or a coloring area or whatever to just give you some downtime and that mental break that you sometimes need.
Right. Cause I don't know if you're like me, but I'm a scribbler.
Mm-hmm.
So like, if I'm listening to like a podcast or something or watching a webinar, I will definitely draw all over my papers. And so that desk calendar has an area for you to do just that. So it's pretty cool.
And I think it also goes hand in hand with the leadership journal, the 90-day leadership journal. I think that you can use them together. And I think that that is really beneficial as well.
Yeah. So all kinds of really great things. If you haven't received an email or saw on social on how to order one, you know, feel free to send us an email. We'll also put a link in today's podcast so that you can follow up on that. But cool stuff. And if anyone has ideas on ways that that we can help your team, you know, we're always looking for innovative ideas that we can help execute. But as I mentioned at the start of today, our topic is setting expectations and then ensuring that those expectations actually get followed out. And like I mentioned, we have a special guest. Her name is Mandy Doy. Welcome, Mandy.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Oh my goodness. We are so excited. Mandy again. So COVID totally blew out our season one podcast. Mandy was supposed to be on site with us, you know, during season one, and COVID happened. And so now we finally got to bring her on the show, and we're so excited to have you here.
I'm thrilled to be here with you guys.
Yeah, we have a really long relationship and we'll kind of get into that, but I'll give your generic bio for everyone so they kind of know your background, and then we'll talk about the real Mandy.
Okay.
So Mandy, she holds, she runs 12 different childcare center locations. She's the chief operating officer and she's got schools both in Chicago and Florida. So she's got a lot on her plate. She's been in the early childhood education field for over 10 years. And prior to that, you know, she worked in the retail space. And like I mentioned, so Mandy has been a client of ours for the last 2 years, right, Mandy?
Yes, I was at the very first leadership conference that you held. So yes.
Oh, and honestly, you're family. So you're definitely part of our family. And we love you tons. I've learned so much from you. One of the reasons why we wanted to have you on today's show is because I don't know how you fit so much on your plate and how you execute the way you do, but it is astonishing and impressive.
Oh, thank you. That's very nice of you to say. I think it all goes back to the people.
It does. And we're going to get into that. But in terms of this topic specifically, you have to have your pulse on 12 different locations. And that's a big feat for anyone. And so I'm really excited for you to be able to share some of the things that you personally do. But before we get into that, maybe you could just tell us a little more about your background.
Sure. So like I said, I have been in early childhood for a little over 10 years. I honestly happened into the world by chance. I responded to a regional manager position for an early childhood company. And I thought, I'm a mom. I know what people want. And so I took a leap. And needless to say, I'm happier than I've ever been in my entire life. I am fulfilling my everyday mission. And so it's really exciting. We are a blended family. So I have 5 children that age all the way from 25 all the way down to 11. So they keep me busy. And so I'm passionate about giving parents the same experience that I wanted for my children during that time. And so that's honestly what drove me to early childhood.
Yeah, I think, you know, having children and being a mom, that really plays an important role in the quality standards that you, you know, set in your center specifically. You know, you're not going to want your child, you don't want to run a center that you wouldn't send your child to.
Absolutely. And I always say people are giving us their most prized possession. If you ask people for their car keys, they say no. Yet they come in and then they enroll their child on the spot. They're giving me something that is way more valuable and not replaceable. And so I take that very seriously. I take that commitment very seriously to those parents. And I want to ensure that their children are safe and healthy in our environment.
I love that. Now you have some fur babies too, right?
I do. I have three. I have two yellow labs and a black lab. So we have all ages of those, all the way from 10 down to one.
Yeah, I always have to mention the fur babies because we're dog people. As you know, Mr. Gunny is here. So often in our podcast, you'll hear him shaking or licking or something. You never know what you're going to get in a daycare overhaul podcast.
It's very true.
Well, and as if you're the 12 schools and your children and your fur babies are not enough, why not throw a side business into it, right? Just for fun.
You know,
yeah, Mandy is, I love the fact that you, like I said, you have this energy that is impressive. And one of the things that, you know, we actually utilize your side business and we want to just give a shout out and we'll again put this in the notes, but you have Bottled Up and Stuff and you produce a lot of the t-shirts and appreciation items for your childcare centers. And you also sell them to other centers. You actually made some of the first items in our first leadership box. You made some apple keychains and some little straw holder thingies, little decorative straw holders. You know, I see you live making tumblers? Is that what they're called?
Yes, ma'am.
And it's the most relaxing thing to watch. It's just really strange. But you've got all these wheels and you're putting all these colors on these tumblers and it's just like you get mesmerized by it.
Well, for the same reason that you like to watch it, it's the same reason I like to create it, is that it's a great stress reliever. It's something fun for me to do. I love being able to personalize gifts for people. And honestly, it just brings my passion to a different level. It's a different passion than childcare. So I love doing it.
Yeah, and it's really neat that you're able to give back to your team and, you know, you don't have to outsource that piece. You know, that's something that you can do for your employees.
Absolutely. And I love, and I know them. And so it's very personal and they know that it's a labor of love. And so it goes a long way.
Awesome. Well, let's dive into our topic. So again, you know, you have 12 locations. I don't know how many employees is that approximately?
I'm a little over 200.
Okay, so you have a little over 200 employees. You have a boss that you have to manage. And we won't go down there. But you have a lot on your plate. And so obviously, goal setting is very important. But even, you know, no matter how many employees that you have. So whether you have 200 employees or 5 employees. Why do you think goal setting is so important?
You know, it's something that somebody said to me years back, and she is a very good friend. She's a mentor to me from a previous career. And she said, inspect what you expect. And it always stuck with me. And so goal setting, if we don't set a goal, people don't have anything to achieve. They're just spinning their wheels because you have to know what's the end result that's going to get you there. And by setting a goal for a short period of time, you can motivate people for a long period of time. So that's why I like to set monthly goals. It could honestly also be a weekly goal if people wanted to do that. I'm more driven by monthly goals so that people have time, so that my team has time to achieve those goals.
And what type of goals? Maybe you could give some examples on some goals that you set for your team.
Sure. So like enrollment. Right now, because of COVID, we're seeing a dip in enrollment. And so we like to set a goal of 3 net enrollments a month. And you set 3 net because if you're just setting 3 enrollments, well, I could enroll 3 and then I could lose 6. And then I'm down 3. So I'm just spinning my wheels. So we like to give them a net goal of 3. If you give somebody a goal of 1, or if you don't give them a goal at all, if they've gotten 1, then they feel like they're achieving that. But truthfully, the matter is that you could be losing some and only gaining one. Or if you needed 20 and you wanted to, and you were only enrolling one a week, it could take you 5 months or over a year to fill your school. That's way too long. So we talk a lot about enrollment. We like to keep them on track. We like to give them recognition weekly, praise them for what they're doing. Now, that doesn't mean in times like this that we don't cut some slack in terms of people leaving because they've lost their jobs. That's obviously outside of the director's control. But we also want to manage those as well. So, you know, we have three enrollments, but if we have three people that left because of their job, we still have to come up with six enrollments to really generate some revenue. So how are we going to do that? And that just, it starts a different conversation that you're having.
No, I love that. And, you know, enrollment is definitely probably the first thing that comes to people's minds in terms of, you know, expectations that you're going to place on a center director. Because again, you've got, you know, 12 different locations you're setting. You need that enrollment in order to do the other things that you need to do in order to keep your doors open. And
enrollment cures all. We've been saying it for years. Enrollment cures all problems.
So in terms of, you know, the teachers, do you have your directors set up any expectations for your teachers, or is that something that you would do?
The directors set up expectations for their teachers. I mean, they're fairly general expectations in terms of being engaging when a tour comes in. We may have them help us with marketing portions of it. So all the teachers go to different places. So finding out where are they going? Where are they going where the children are? And how can we possibly market to that? So we do use our teachers in terms of marketing and presenting our brand in a way that we want to, you know, that entices people to want to enroll with us.
Oh, that's great. And I think one thing that, and we forgot to mention where you're from daycare team. So you have what, five brands, correct?
We have six brands now.
Brands. Oh my goodness.
Oh, no, five. I'm sorry. Five brands. You were right. I apologize.
It's all good.
I'm losing track.
So one thing that I really love about your company in general, you know, and I know this from fact because we talk on a weekly basis about your, you know, the expectations for your company, but you align those expectations with the main vision of the company.
We do. We work hard. We work hard. I mean, we want people to feel like they're in a loving environment. You know, our mission is love, learn, and collaborate. And so everything we do revolves around those three words. So we want to be sure that our team feels loved. We want them learning things on a daily basis. And we definitely want their collaboration. You know, I couldn't do what I do without the collaboration of everyone from the directors down to the cook. I really feel like we succeed and we fail as a team. It is all about getting everybody on the same page and making sure that we're all working towards that, the goal. And what is the goal? I mean, for us, the goal is quality childcare, full schools, quality childcare.
Well, and I think, you know, one of the words that I like to use is clarity, because when you have clear expectations, when you have a clear vision for your company, everyone is clear on what is required of them. And when you have that type of clarity and they know the direction that the company, they know that your mission is love, learn, and collaborate. So there's no way to deviate from that unless you are just totally like not plugged in at all. I don't even know what the word is.
I mean, they wear it on the back of their shirts and sweatshirts. So I certainly hope they know it's love, learn, and collaborate.
So Mandy, how do you set expectations for yourself? You know, you're at kind of that upper level position and you may not necessarily have someone else setting expectations for you, but you know, how do you on a daily basis make sure that you're targeting and being intentional with what you're trying to accomplish?
I think for me, it's all about goal setting. Like, where do I want to be in a month? Where do I want the company to be in a month? You know, and then achieving those, or if I don't achieve it, how do I achieve it the next month? And set, you know, especially as we go through COVID, I mean, everybody is spinning their wheels with COVID. And I think that the most important thing is to remember is that you're slowly climbing back up. you're not going to see in states like Illinois, you're not going to see a huge jump in childcare. You're going to see a steady increase. Because we've been affected. I mean, we have honestly been affected. People are nervous to bring their children into the childcare center. And we're probably doing more now in terms of disinfecting and all the tools that we're doing to disinfect our schools. We're doing amazing things. So people should feel very confident when they come to us. But so I think it's just goal setting and looking forward into the future. You said, you know, many times people look at today or tomorrow or the end of the week. You know, I'm looking to January. I'm looking to February. I'm looking at what do we do differently next year to be able to achieve what we want to do. I mean, 2020 is essentially in my mind, and we're still going through the motions of it, and I'm still setting goals and we're still trying to achieve those goals. But I'm looking at what do I want to accomplish in 2021, both personally, professionally. I mean, I do the same thing for my side business. I do, you know, what do I want to sell? What are my new things that are trendy for people? What do people want to see? And then how do I get there? So I'm very much a pen and paper type of person where I want to put it on paper and I need to visualize it. And I need to walk through it in my mind for a little bit. I also am a processor, so I need to think about it. And I need to think about it on that drive where you don't have the radio on and you don't know that you don't have the radio on because you're so deep in thought. So I think that that's important that, you know, we're not stuck in October of 2020, that we're already thinking January 2021. And how do we make that the best year that we possibly can? And what does that look like?
Right. And then being forgiving on ourselves, like you had mentioned, you know, that's been a hot topic this year is there's been lots of goals that we set at the beginning of 2020 that we obviously have not hit. And we have to be able to give ourselves a break. Right. And so I'm assuming you had to give your staff a break and give yourself a break during this year.
Some things are out of our control. Obviously, the circumstances of 2020 for many reasons were just out of our control. So yes, you know, and that's why 2021 is so important. I think when you're coming out of a year like this year, that you're looking at how do you change what you can change, and how do you control what you can control?
So now let's talk about execution, because it's one thing to set a goal and it's another to execute and figure out ways on how to do that. And I know firsthand from our meetings on every week, you know, because we're high achievers, all of us in our group, we're often setting a lot of pretty high expectations on ourselves. And it's, you know, that follow through and execution that can be difficult, because sometimes we load up our plates. So maybe you can talk a little bit about how you get your directors to follow through on those goals that you set, and what do you do specifically as their leader?
So communication is key. I mean, consistent communication is key. Personally, I send a weekly Monday email that talks about, especially for enrollment right now, because that's where, there's a lot of balls up in the air, but that's really where we're focusing is enrollment. So I send a weekly email recapping the last weeks through the month. So for this week, it would have been the 3 weeks previous to this week to talk about where they're at for enrollment. It's consistent communication so that people aren't losing sight of the goal. The minute that you lose sight of the goal or you stop focusing on it, then everybody else does as well because they don't think that it's nearly as important. So, and I also like to pull in some personal, personal conversation with the director. So if someone's really struggling, let's talk to them about, okay, so what are you doing from a grassroots marketing aspect? Why did these people leave? And then also convey the message of sometimes it is just out of your control. If people have lost their jobs, like I said before, and they can't afford childcare, then that's out of your control. So how do we continue to maintain and retain the families that we do have and the children that we do have so we can minimize our loss? And how do we get those new families in? So consistent communication and always having your eye on the prize. I mean, that's truthfully, there is no secret formula to it. It's just around communication And whether it be a group communication or the one-on-one conversations, if you have a newer director, they may need just a little bit of, encouragement to be able to go after it, to know that they can, because it can be extremely defeating to enroll 3 children but lose 7. And we all know what happens. So really having those personal conversations and talking them through those and say, okay, so October wasn't your month, but you have November. Because honestly, I have one school that is really struggling right now, but her November, she is going to knock it out of the park. And so let's celebrate that. Let's bring that to the forefront, and then let's get those enrollments, and then let's retain them. Because we all know we have to work less hard if we just retain what we already have.
I love what you said there. It's so encouraging how even if someone's not hitting their goal this month, you're really encouraging them for the following month. I mean, you're really cheering them on and being their advocate. And I think your staff knows that. So you're not just getting down on them for not hitting their goal. And I think that's one thing that is a quality of a leader, you know, that is really important, you know, to be able to hold people accountable, but yet encourage them when they can't meet a goal or they don't meet a goal. Now, what happens though if you've got that consistent person that, you know, whether they're a director or a teacher or whatever, that's not necessarily following through, or they're giving you pushback, or like you had mentioned earlier, one of my biggest pet peeves is when someone knows an expectation, and then as soon as you don't bring it up for like a week, they think it's no longer an expectation. Like Justina and I were talking about when she used to be in charge of collecting photos for social media. Do you want to talk about that, Justina?
Well, when I came into the position where I was in charge of that, the prior expectation, I think, was like, send 2 pictures for the month. Okay. And first of all, sending 2 pictures for a month is not going to cut it. We need to be sending pictures all the time. And so I was like, I need to do something. And there were some other weird
trains here. We need
trains here. I told you, like, a train comes on Tuesdays at like 2:30 or 3:30. Trains here. Anyways, there were some other outlying weird things, like the person wanted like the horizontal picture. I was like, no, I don't care what the picture, like what direction the picture is. Like, I just want pictures. And so after some thought, I was like, okay, this is what I'm going to do, is I'm going to assign each age group a day that they have to submit pictures. And so I went around to everyone and I asked them, like, you know, what's the day that you do like the most kids are there, or you do like your big, because sometimes, you know, like we're going to do a cooking activity every Tuesday, or you know, our pre-K classroom wanted to have Friday so they could send pictures for the whole week. And I was like, perfect. So I went around and I asked everybody. I put a schedule together and I said, this is your picture day. You have to send me pictures on your picture day. And that was the expectation. And if I didn't get a picture by 3:00, I would be calling the room like, hey, do you have pictures for today? And it took a little bit of time for them to get in the habit of it. But then it was like, I would get them without even having to call and ask. And then they would contact me and say, hey, can I switch my picture day with so-and-so? I already talked to them about it because we're doing this really fun activity on this day. And I was like, yeah, that's great, as long as you guys have figured it out. But they knew that that was my expectation, that they had to submit pictures. And then after I kind of did that, I got a little bit picky about about what was the content of the pictures. Like, I'm like, yeah, stage pictures of them smiling, that's all like really cute and great, but like we want pictures of the kids learning and engaged in activities and that sort of thing. So then it got to the point where they would call and say, hey, I sent pictures. Can you tell me if they're okay? If not, I'll take other ones. And so then they got in the habit of knowing, like, this is what she expects. This is the kind of pictures she expects. And I know that if it's borderline, I can call and ask her. And I would say either like, oh, try again, or no, this will be fine, or whatever. But I set that in motion, and it took a little bit of time, but eventually it was amazing. And then I never had a problem. I never had to scrounge for pictures because I got them all the time.
It took a while though for people to actually follow through on that, mm-hmm. which can be really frustrating as a manager, right?
Well, and then the whole thing was, what's the consequence for not following through? And that's the thing, is is it they're going to have a talking to, or we're going to like let it go 1 or 2 weeks, or, you know, depending upon what's happening in the classroom. Like, you know, there's all these outlying factors that could cause them to not follow through. So we had to have the conversation of, this is the expectation. This is who's not doing it consistently. What is going to be their consequence for not doing this part of their job?
Right.
And is it fair? You know, we can't fire somebody for not submitting pictures for social media. That's a little excessive. But what is appropriate? And so that was a conversation that we had to have. And it took us a little bit of time to iron it out and what's going to be appropriate. What do we want to do? And we got there. It just took a little bit of time.
Right. So Mandy, in terms of, I just happen to know that was a sore subject for a very long time for Justina in terms of people not following through. What have you done in terms of, you know, identifying those consequences or dealing with people that maybe aren't following through on the expectations that you set?
Well, I think you have to ask questions. I mean, is there something that's prohibiting them from being able to follow through on it? Do they not know how to conduct a tour that is a successful tour? Do they not know how to close the deal? Do they have the skill but not the will? Or do they have the will but not the skill? I mean, those are often questions that I ask myself. The interesting thing is I always tell my directors, like when they're going through situations or they're handling things, is so there's a reason that you're in your position and there's a reason that other people are in their position. So I often ask myself that, like, is this person in the right position? And that doesn't necessarily mean that they're a bad person. It just means that maybe we're just not the right fit for them. So maybe we need to help them find their happiness elsewhere. And there's nothing wrong with that. Helping somebody find their passion again for whatever they want in their life. And sometimes I believe in a simple conversation of, what do you want to do with your life? What is really holding you back? Because a lot of the times when you have a situation where someone can't enroll, or I mean, because we're using enrollment today, but if they can't enroll, that maybe there is something legitimately that holds them back. Maybe they're afraid that their teachers are going to revolt because they're filling up these classrooms. I mean, we had that at one of the schools. The teacher said, "We will, if you fill up our capacity of our school, we will all walk. We only want 4 infants, 5 toddlers, 8 2-year-olds. That's all we want." And the director was terrified of the staff. So once we figured that out, well, gosh, once we dealt with that, we could enroll all the children, and the school is actually doing extremely well these days. So it's, I think you just have to ask the follow-up questions to it.
I also think, you know, given your examples that you've given and, you know, just in Caroline and my past experience, when you set those expectations and you follow through on making sure they get done or whatever the consequences, you're giving them ownership of their classroom. If it's the teacher, I know Mandy, you had mentioned the teachers like go and do certain things and the directors have certain expectations, but you're giving them ownership of their own, you know, classroom or center or whatever. And then they become more passionate about it and they're more invested. So I think once you can set those expectations and they know what's expected of them and they know how to achieve that, they then have ownership over it. And they either, I don't know if care more is the right word, but they might try harder or have more passion to follow through on those things.
Did you need to say something, Mandy?
I was just going to say, it goes back to the WIFM, what's in it for me? You know, you also have to make it relatable to those teachers. Why do they want full classrooms? You know, what is the benefit to them? Because in their eyes, all they have to do is work harder then. So yeah, there has to be some benefit to them.
That's
so
perfect.
Justina, you hit the nail on the head.
Well, and I think sometimes as an owner or, you know, someone in your position, Mandy, if you didn't tell them what was in it for them and you just like kept it to yourself, even though, you know, like ultimately it can lead to more classroom supplies or bonuses or whatever it may be. If you don't tell them that, like, there's no reason to not tell them. Like, it's about being transparent and saying, like, no, like, let's really talk about this. Having 3 more kids in your classroom could mean you can have more, I don't know, planning time, or you get more supplies for your room, or, you know, if you guys can maintain, or for a director, if you can maintain this FTE for this long, you get this bonus or whatever. And really showing them that it's not just about the owner's bottom line. It's about all these other things too, because sometimes they don't understand that And until you give them that information, of course, like as much as you can give them, obviously there's some things that they don't need to know about or whatever, but then they can understand it more as opposed to just hearing like, this is what I have to do. This is what's expected of me. And this is what happens if I don't do it. But it is like, what's in it for me? How is this going to benefit me in the long haul?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
This was good stuff. And I'm going to ask a question. I think some of us might be a little fearful maybe to set goals for 2021 because of what happened in 2020. And there's still so much uncertainty. So I'm going to put you on the spot, Mandy, and I'm going to ask you, how do you start 2021 out with expectations? I know it's a big question to just lay on you.
Well, I projected what I would do for the rest of 2020 or where I realistically hoped that we would do for the rest of 2020. And then I took January, and taking into account our wait list and some other factors within our business that were of communication that we're seeing from parents. And I've taken the goal up by a little bit, not a ton. I will be very honest with you. I set low expectations, more so that they were achievable because I didn't want to start the year off feeling defeated. So I think the biggest thing is to make the goals achievable. Oftentimes we put ourselves into positions where we say, okay, come January, we're going to be 100% full. We would love to be 100% full come January. I mean, it's the second largest enrollment period for us from a childcare aspect business or business aspect. But that's not necessarily the case this year. So I think we can see a steady influx of that. Plus, I think we're going to see a lot more babies in February, March, April. So I think with the combination of all of that, you know, I made some very conservative projections, keeping in mind that we weren't going to beat ourselves up if we didn't make those goals.
That's great.
Did that answer your question?
It does. It does answer my well, and I think one thing our listeners will probably walk away with is, you know, those achievable goals. And you said, I think we need to set the bar at a level at the beginning of next year that is achievable and be flexible next year. Just with the unknown still. But don't be afraid to hold your team accountable. You know, don't be afraid. You guys are doing some really great things. So even though, you know, you've been impacted by COVID, that hasn't stopped you. You know, you're still, you still have a bar that you're requiring people to meet. You have expectations that you are still requiring your staff to follow through on. And I think I would love to just get that message out there that even though we're going through some rough times, that doesn't mean to lower your standards. It doesn't mean to lower your expectations.
So that's so interesting that you say that, because on the bottom of the script that you sent me or that we talked about, you know, it said, what advice would you give our listeners? And on my little post note here, my comment is always bring others up to your standard. Don't settle for less than what you know you can accomplish. And I think that that is verbatim almost what you just said. So how amazing is that? That we're just
in
tune.
And I don't even have that print. I don't even have that on mine.
And I think, Caroline, you and I had talked about this in a podcast last season. I think it's almost more important in times that we're going through now to have those clear expectations and follow through with them than it is in, I'm going to say, quote unquote, normal times. Like, it's always important, but it's almost more important now to at least keep that consistency so that there's not so, let me backtrack, because so much is up in the air, keeping what you can consistent in the same is going to be beneficial. You know,
it's, you know, that consistency and stability and that kind of stuff, as much as you can find that, if we stop holding our teams accountable right now, if we stop setting expectations, our team is going to feel lost because they're used to having that done. So it's definitely something that we need to keep up with. Any last, now that I stole your thunder, Mandy, any last comments or words of wisdom that you want to give us? Mandy, can you hear me? Oh, we might have lost Mandy for a second, but that's okay. Justina and I will keep going.
I think a lot of what she had to say is,
I can kind of,
is stuff that I feel like a lot of people know. Oh, there she is, I think. Maybe.
All right. Well, Justina, I think we'll have you kind of do a summary and wrap us up here since I think we lost Mandy. I can see her face on Zoom, but we cannot hear her right now.
Oh, I'm back.
That's okay. I just was going to say that. Yes. Whoa, there she is. Maybe she's back. I have a funny story I have to share now, kind of about this. So in college, in my former life, I was on the radio and I did a radio show on our local college station. And we always joked that like college radio can be summed up in 5 words, dead air, dead air. Cause you know, people get kind of uncomfortable and they don't know what to say. Right. So they just kind of go, and there's like lulls in like the audio and that sort of thing. So it just reminded me of that we're kind of like, oh, what's going on? What's going on? It's happening. It's fine. No big deal.
That's okay. We're still doing childcare better. That's really what we stand for.
Audio might not be 100%. Well, we've got childcare covered. Don't you worry.
Right. So I'll let you wrap us up, Justina. Mandy, if you can hear us, thank you so much for coming on the show. We love you. We appreciate you and your expertise and your advice and your heart. We can't thank you enough for all that you do for us and for the relationship. Take it away, Justina.
So, Mandy, can you hear us? I feel like she's trying to say something.
I can hear you now. I think I've come back. Sorry. It was really
that's okay.
There for a minute, so I apologize.
It's all good. Only the best for our listeners. So we'll put all of the links that we talked about today in the description on our website. So childcarebizhelp.com. If you go to childcarebizhelp.com/podcast, find today's episode and you'll see all the links. We'll put them all in the description. If you have anything any questions for us, anything you want to ask us, you can email us at info@daycareoverhaul. Follow us on all the social medias. And by all, I mean Facebook and Instagram @daycareoverhaul. Otherwise, we'll see you guys all next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, Mandy.
Thank you. Bye.